Your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 14, if you would. And in our study of Jeremiah chapter 14, we went from verse 7, 8, and 9. And we sort of took that apart to get all the truths that were latent, sitting right there for us. And they are to be understood. And Jeremiah was, this is his fortification, his base, his foundation, that he understands. The nation of Israel does not as a nation, but he as a believer does. And in verse 8, O, the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in a time of trouble. Now we did all of those words in all of those verses. But in looking at that, O hope of Israel, the Savior thereof, in time of trouble. So here's Jeremiah and getting a setting for it. He's looking at the people as a nation that are not sympathetic then with God. They aren't interested, really. And God's making every overture he can to try to awaken them. And they are negative, a negative response on all of them. So now, Jeremiah, if you're looking at the nation around you that you God has raised up from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of its history and all of its wonderful future. And Jeremiah, it's pretty discouraging from a human standpoint to look at it. There's no real anything going on to encourage you. So what do you do? And we share together verse 7, 8, and 9 in doing so. Jeremiah exercised truth. He exercised it. He was totally dependent on God. That's what he needed to be. Israel was not dependent on God at all. But Jeremiah was. Now, in the light of that, we want to capitalize on that. Here we are in our own world, our own country, and the global situation and all of that. And if we look out, It's a human position. You could say it's a scary position when you look out. There's no surety of anything lasting here. Everything here being gobbled up by there, gobbled up, leaving us with nothing. That's a human looking at it. They're going to gobble us up, and we're going to be gobbled up by them, etc. And our historic American revolution for the republic. That republic is vanished almost. Now, so having said that and looking, then I would like to just take Jeremiah, your little heart, and go a little further. Oh, with me if I can, and move it along to see if it is duplicated. Do other believers duplicate this? Should they duplicate this? And how do they do so? Jeremiah chapter 17. And you would recall, Jeremiah, did you understand about your own nature? And remember when we started Jeremiah chapter 1, that Jeremiah would say, I am a child. I am totally unable, unfit to tackle the great job, the assignment that God was giving him. It was too big, too much, way out of reach. But it's out of reach for the child and for the person, but not for God. So if it's God's will, then a little old chicken could do it. God could take a stone and do it. God could take the jawbone of an ass and do it. No problem. No problem. It's God's will. It'll be done. And you, if you're a part of that, that's wonderful. So now, here's Jeremiah. Did you understand your... Why are you so dependent, Jeremiah? Verse 5, chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. In other words, a complete independence from the Lord. And the person that is completely independent, which is the whole objective when you grow up, adolescence and all of that. What's adolescence all about in that? It's growing up and trying to get free and be independent. Why do I have to be so dependent? I need to be independent. That's what we shoot, grow up. We call it growing up. And in the process, the human heart, Jeremiah, did you know your heart? He said, I do. And any heart is cursed if it's left to itself. Verse 6, for he shall be like the heath, like a bush in the desert, all dried out, in the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited, no growth, no green, nothing. Wow. On the contrary, that's a dependent man, independent man. And independence, if you just try to think of different ways to understand it, you know that if you try to go, you cannot find yourself in yourself by yourself. Easy. If you're going to try to find yourself in yourself by yourself, you'll never find yourself. It'll never happen. And that's what we're stuck with. We leave the Creator out, and we're stuck. I'll give it to you another way. If you understand going to the cemetery, that will help you. Here's a stone, and it says on that stone, perhaps, the day that a person is born. And then you read a little further, the day that they passed on or died. Now, if that person, make believe it's you right now, and you are investing to save money, on a stone, and you're going to take a stone and you're going to put your birth date on it. Now, you can't put your death date because you don't know it, but let's make believe that we did, like Scrooge in Christmas Carol. It was coming. So now, what do we know? We bring nothing in and we take nothing out. And the only part of anything is this little bit of time that we're breathing and our heart is beating and we're walking around. We've got nothing in and nothing out, and this is it. And no more. There's no more. That's full of self. Self is missing out. Misses out on the whole thing. So, here we are going and thinking, so what's the point? Well, you could have a Nobel Prize and be a great person, but what's the difference? It doesn't make any difference who you are. You brought nothing in, and you bring nothing out. And all you've got is this. And if you're willing to just be content with this, that's going to, what about this? It goes nowhere. Right? You're the head of the CEO, you're Bill Gates, make believe. He did pretty well. In the process, when Bill Gates passes on, he brings nothing in and he takes nothing out. He takes nothing out. So everything he did, marvel, wonder, and then it's all gone. So God, that's self. We're trying to look at the world like Ecclesiastes. And we're looking at the world, we bring nothing in, we take, cursed is the man, the woman, the boy or girl. Where did you get? What did you do? Why were you here? Why were you born? So now, blessed is the man, verse 7, that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Remember Jeremiah, the hope, O Lord, hope of Israel, the Savior in a time of trouble. So here, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. You need to be dependent. We are dependent. We are dependent on everything. And we try to lose that. And we don't understand our dependency, as we shared the other day, that you're dependent on air, water, food, gas, lights, electricity. You're dependent on a whole... You don't do anything about it. All you do is hope someone else does it and so that you can use it. That's all. You don't control hardly anything. You don't control, not unless you can own a company. But if you don't own the company, you have to show up for work, and you leave work, you go to school. You're controlled. You're dependent. You live dependent. So we try to get away from dependence. But we try to get away from it by looking away from God. So verse 8, the person that's dependent, you need to be dependent. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful, worried, in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So, God, that's a wonderful thing. Now, having said that little bit, Jeremiah, you are very, very confident. Very confident, comfortable. You're competent. You're quite capable of handling a terrible... You're all alone. But you're quite sufficient because you're dependent rightly upon God. Over to John 8. John 8. We did it on Sunday a little bit, remember? And in John chapter 8, picking up if I can, may I go? We've been here in the morning studies, but just reminding us, John chapter 8, and in verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. 8:30. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, keep abiding, continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, truly. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Think of the declaration, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty. Why did they have to come? And why did we have to put that in? Because it wasn't found. They were hunting for it. Are all these people wrong coming? No. They're caught up in the bondage of the government, the system, where it's going. They're caught in it. They were coming to find liberty, freedom, release from bondage. That's what they were coming. So that God, and we share together, God, what are you going to do for us? Among many things, O hope of Israel, Savior in the time of trouble, what are you going to do? I'm going to let you know, I'm going to give you the truth. And the truth will set you free. Not you're going to be free without it. Error won't make you free. Ignorance won't make you free. Stupidity won't make you free. Truth will make you free. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now down, slide down, and say it a different way. Verse 36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now we just said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth will make you free. And God, you say it another way to us. All right, verse 32. If the Son shall make you free, I am the truth. I am the truth. The truth, if the truth makes you free, the God's word, God's person in Jesus Christ, he makes you free. He makes you free. So you want to be wonderfully, when you become a citizen of the United States, don't you have to have a... Now, we were born, some of us, citizens. But when you're a citizen, aren't you supposed to be a citizen and have the... As we shared on Sunday and that, you have all of the legitimate rights to the... It's your... We have the documents up for you. And you have the... That's your declaration. That's your constitution. It's yours. It's yours. It's the people's. It's theirs. They have it. Copy of the contract. You got it. Well, that's the copy that they have. And we're to have and possess that. And we're to own that copy. And that copy gives us the right and privilege to have being we are dependent. We are dependent. We think everyone goes into office to abide by the Declaration and honor and abide by the Declaration and Constitution because we're dependent on it. They don't want to be dependent on it in our country anymore. They are independent. And independent, they're becoming dependent in bondage to another system. And they aren't going to get out of this one. Wow. So now, here we are looking. The truth will set you free. The Son will set you free. You want liberty? Truth. You need to be dependent. Over, if you would, to First Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Now remember, keep in mind, in the particular setting, in the writing of the Philippians, Paul is in prison. So he isn't free in the sense of running around. He's in prison. That's where he is. Now he's going to write. He's in prison, but no problem. No problem at all. He's going to be in prison again. Remember, this another time he's going to be in with under Nero. And in the prison again, this time when he's in prison, he's going to say, I'm in chains, but God's word is not bound. You can't bind truth. You can't bind God. I'll say it another way. You can't bind light. The only way you can get the light is to remove the power, and then there'll be no light. But you can't stop the light. Everything we try to do in darkness tries all kinds of things, John chapter 1. But it can't put out the light. No, it can't. Now, so Paul, you're in jail, that's right. And he tells us, among other things, chapter 1 and verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, Jeremiah, what'd you say? O hope of Israel, the Savior in a time of trouble. You got it? It's where we are. Well, you're a wonderful. Remember we said hope? Hope is an anticipation, expectation of help, of everything coming out, working out, good for you. As you go down the corridor of time, it's all going and working out as it's supposed to. In the light of the big picture, the little picture, it's working out. And you're trusting God who fits you into the picture. And if you leave God out, you don't know where you are in the picture. You're on planet Earth. The good angels and the bad angels, they all know you're around. They know what you're doing. More or less, they're all over the place doing it. But the people don't know what they're doing. Philippians, thus, chapter 1, picking up in verse 20. According as my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So, boy, you are all wrapped up in that. I am. Why? For me to live, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to be living for me is Christ, is a person. It's knowing a person. It's enjoying a person. It's walking with a person. It's having a relationship to a person. That's what it is. And a person doesn't go away. Remember the disciples said, just think of the Gospels, his 3 years and almost 3.5, three and a third years. And here we're going to go down the corridor of time. And they enjoyed the person of Jesus Christ, the apostles, the 12 apostles. They enjoyed it for three and a half years. And they did so. And they enjoyed him. And they enjoyed being with him. He provided everything. He provided power. He provided food. He gave them great exercise mentally and otherwise. And you know, in all of that exercise, Thomas, we're going to go and die and it's all over. But it wouldn't be all over. No, it isn't all over. So God, what are you saying? Well, for me to live as Paul is saying, for me to live as Christ and to die is great advantage. So dying isn't the end, it's the beginning. It's a commencement. So God, here we are looking for me to live as Christ, to die is gain. So where is the centerpiece to get you to survive, Jeremiah? The hope of Israel, that's you, Lord. The Savior in the time of trouble, that's you, Lord. So, God, Paul, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying it right out, said Paul. Christ is my hope. He's my life. He's the reason I'm living now, and he's the reason I'm going to keep on living, and he's the reason I have great expectation that as I go into the future, a million years from now, I have great expectation of life. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so having Christ, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, great advantage. And so we want to look at what our dependence, we're supposed to be dependent. And we fudge on that all the time. But we don't enjoy being dependent. And we need to be. Now, in the process of that, therefore, since our dependence of heart and mind and soul, and to have the experience, to have the enjoyment of this relationship, dependence, it's a wonderful thing. So God, we want to be able to enjoy you, your character, conduct, your person. That's what it's about. Christ is our life. For me to live as Christ, to die is great advantage. So now, so over if you would please, in the light of that, over to Colossians, not far away, as you know, Colossians in chapter 3. Now, what do you know? Well, God, in the process, we are going to go and look to you, and we are going to seek to know and honor your person and work. We just want to know you, God, to be in your presence. That's something else. And it's a little hard now, isn't it? I could tell you, you are in the presence of God, but you aren't excited about being in the presence of God because we're in the presence of the world and our body and our flesh and everything. We're in the presence of darkness, so it's awful hard to appreciate light. You have to by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. So God, we're looking to you. And when we do, God, everything is awesome. So God, if we could be right now sitting here, and I could change the setting, if you can imagine it, which is difficult, if I can move you to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, and I'm going to have you sit, I don't know that you'd be sitting, and you're there. And all the angels are there by the thousands, 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 thousands. And everyone's there. And you're there. Before God. In his infinite being. What do you think of that? Different, isn't it? That's what it's about. It's about that. And God, you're trying to help us now so that we can enjoy, and that's our future. For me to live as Christ, to die is a huge advantage. So here's Colossians, and we want to know you. That's right. Not have your magical genie help We don't want that. God, you're the hope of Israel. You're the Savior, hope, the Savior. Here we are, God, and we just need to know you and honor you dependently. If ye then be risen with Christ, chapter 3, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Why is that? For you are dead. God isn't trying to save you for here. He's using you here, but he's saving you for there. And you are dead, and your life is hid. His where? Where is it? With Christ? In God. And when Christ, by the way, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So that's a wonderful thing, God. That's what we're going to have. And we know your relationship to the Spirit of God. Think of Galatians 5 and 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. What is your relationship? God, you want us to know you in every way, shape, or form. Savior, Father, Spirit of God, you're trying to tell me, God in your total being, you want to be my God and my Savior. We ought to be dependent. Now, not only that, in our dependency, do we have the knowledge of him, but we have the government, God's wonderful government. And while you're in Colossians, easy, Colossians in chapter 3, and God, when are we dependent? And you're dependent now when the good part of things, not the bad part. And the good part of things, the government is supposed to protect and our country and our rights and our privileges and our right to exercise the Bill of Rights, to exercise the Declaration of Independence, that's our right. The government's supposed to protect us so we can do all this stuff. And when an enemy comes, they come and try to save us from it. Now, in the process of that, this government to protecting us in that, God, we're looking to you, and God, you're going to go, and we are under the government. Now, and you are under the government. And are you not under the rules of regulation of the government? Aren't you? You say you're not, but you are. The government come in with their authority. They can do what they want, can't they? They come in and say whatever they want now. They could do it. And they may be dead wrong. Maybe way off, but they can do it. And how do you fight the government? The only way I can think of fighting the government with some success is if I was in the mafia. I think the mafia has a little bit more oomph. But apart from that, apart from the mafia, or something like that, We're stuck, because we're dependent. God, we are dependent, we are dependent on the government. The government is dependent on God, who overrides and overrules all things as he works out each nation from Germany to the Second World War and the First World War, Second World War, and all of that. And you go through the wars and everything, and God, nations rise and fall like they are even now. Wow. God, but we're looking to you. So the boss of the government that's over me, my boss is over that government. And therefore, my government can do what they want. They can put Paul in jail. And the Romans have every right to try to put him in jail. But the Roman government answers to God, especially for God's people, in God's will. So, here we are, God's government, and we're dependent. We're dependent on our own government, but we try to do things within reason, the rules and regulations and that. But in the process, we are dependent upon God's government, who overrules and overrides all government. Anyway, and he overrides the mafia too. He overrides it all. You are dependent, are you? Are you thanking God that you are dependent? And you are practicing that wonderful dependency on His sovereign, gracious rule and reign. That's the thing. Now, hang on. And Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule, act as an umpire in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. God, we're looking for your wonderful outworking, your wonderful exercise, the wonderful exercise of your wonderful government, how you do things, your rule and reign. God, there's no replacing it in any way, shape, or form. So now, not only do we have the government, and I'm dependent on the government. I wish I like not to be in sometimes. And I wish the government, where the government's going, I don't want to have to go, but may have to somewhat go that way. But I can handle that a little better when I understand that they, whatever they do there, in Washington and all that, they have to answer to God. And that's, you know, that's rather awesome. And I would tell the White House and the rest of them, you're going to answer to God, so I would be careful what you do. When you touch the believing heart, as it were, you touch the apple of His eye. That's the little black dot in the middle. And that's sensitive. God said, don't mess around. Don't mess around. So we have that. I'm dependent. Are you? Ah. And we're dependent on God for guidance. His wonderful guidance, His enabling power, encouraging and outworking, what? Everything. He's outworking it all successfully. Successfully. That's what He's doing. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, while you're in Colossians, let's take a look at that. Colossians chapter 3. May I go to verse, remember now, He's outworking. Outworking, guidance, doing everything, outworking it all. And in the process of outworking it all, which He does, and so God, would, in everything, right. Hold your finger here, hold your finger here, and I want you to see it in your fresh in your mind if you can. Colossians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, 2 and 14, which always causes, always causes, makes to happen, causes us, He makes it happen, causes us to triumph in Christ. Where do we have such victory, such confidence, such innate guidance, such enablement, we have it because it's in Christ. And since it's there, and since He's doing that always, then therefore maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, easy to see, the savor, the fragrance, the odor, think of the perfume, of His knowledge, by us, by way of us, we're the vehicle, the vessel, in every place. So God, in your little exercise at work, home, school, up, down, sleeping, walking, dishes, whatever we're doing, whatever it is, that as we look to you, what's happening, there's a wonderful, wonderful sense that you are our Savior, and we are dependent upon you, and we are more than conquerors through you that loved us. And we have that. So people can look at, they can do whatever they want. But you have a wonderful Savior, and we are dependent. We are totally dependent on such success, such victory, in every place, morning, noon, night, when you're up, when you're down, when we fall down, when we make goofs, we do stupid things, and we do all kinds of things, stupid, stubborn, and the rest of it. And we do them. But God, We fumble through and get back with it, and we're dependent. We are dependent on you for our outworking, absolutely, in every place. Verse, chapter 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient or able, competent of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency, our competency, our ability belongs to God. It's God's. So where do we get all this? Well, back over to Colossians. We have this, and we're dependent. How can you be this today at 2 o'clock? How dependent were you? And I don't know where you were or what you're doing, but you were, if you're a believer and you're looking to God, then God, you are there, and no matter what, God could happen, all kinds of things could be, but God, I'm dependent on you to the outworking of your goodwill. Here I am, and I am to be a victor. I am to be triumphant. Christ is never, never, never a loser. He always wins, and he always comes out ahead, no matter how you want to do it. So God, if I'm looking to you and trusting you and abiding in you, then I have to win. That's all. No matter how looks bad it is. So back over to Colossians 3. So what do we do? Well, I'm in his will. That's right. Well, how do you do that? The truth will set you free. Free. Liberty. Give me life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Liberty. All right? We want liberty. God said, I'll give it to you. I'm giving it to you. Christ, my son, he gives you that liberty. He has liberty because God has liberty. He is God. Who binds God? Who tells God what to do? Who has rules and regulations for God? No one. He's the boss. He's the top. He's the one. He is the one in your life. And so the God, we're looking to you, and in the process, we're able to win simply because you win. It looked like the whole situation, down the tubes. But you win. I don't know how to interpret it. I don't have all the pieces. But you do. You win. Colossians 3. And see how simple it is. Because you say, well, I'm not in the will of God. I'm just going to work, doing the dishes, laying down and taking a nap. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. God, it's liberty, not license. It isn't a license. It's liberty to do what is right as you ought. And we're trusting God in dependence upon him. And God, as we're dependent upon you, wherever, and always in every down whatever street, whatever wherever we are, we're to be a winner in the midst of a losing, troubled, troublesome setting. We're a winner. Wow. And Christ in me, in you, if you're saved, is the winner. Now, and thus, whatever we do, so it says always, left, right, morning, noon, night, that's right. I'm going to do it because I'm looking to you, and I'm going to be thankful and looking to you to honor you in your name. That's what I'm going to do. And chapter 3, and in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily with your whole heart as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So God, we're looking to you, and whatever we do. So I don't make it complicated. Don't make it some thing way out where you got to find something. Right where you are. Stand right where you are, draw a circle, and it starts right there. And then do what you have to do. That's what you do. Don't make it hard, then you lose out, because you're looking for some big thing. And which one of you are going to find, what big thing is God going to do with you? Do you have a plan? Some big thing? big thing. No. It's the little things. God's going to take you wherever you are, and if you're trusting Him, God is going to give a wonderful, wonderful exercise in the situation, trial, test, and in it all, you're going to discover what? God's wonderful grace and love, and you're going to do it. And God's there. And you're a winner. And therefore, so God, I don't have to go anywhere. I have to do anything. That's hard. It should do something. That's because it works. We want to earn something. No, you can't earn anything. You don't deserve anything. If you're waiting for that, you don't have long enough in heaven. No, it's a gift. I do. So now, and we have the same thing, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. That's what you do. Oh, how simple you want it. Because we get on, then what are you doing? You're dependent on God. 24 hours, you're learning to 24 hours a day. You aren't waiting for some big thing to happen and then you're going to trust Him. No, you're trusting Him. And then you're ready for whatever. And we've shared that 100 times over the years. You know, you go in the hospital and someone in the hospital and they're really in trouble. And they say, well, now you're going to say, now are you trusting the Lord? Well, no, I did. And I said, were you trusting the Lord? No. Now you're going to have to exercise, aren't you? Because you aren't used to trusting the Lord. Now I'm going to tell you what you have to do. It's a very simple thing, and very easy, and very wonderful. I don't care what you've got. You could die. I tell them that. I mean, you could die before I leave here. So be of good cheer. I'm trying to help you. So you see it. And you have to what? You have to learn something. And you haven't done it. So, A, I would confess my failure and thank God for His forgiveness and His grace. And I would look to God and thank God that He's right here now to take care of it. And you're going to trust Him. Are you? Are you not? But if you're trusting Him already, you're sailing there all the way. The whole trip from start to finish. You're trusting Him. Wow. So God, it's a wonderful thing. Your wonderful guidance, your wonderful government, your wonderful provision of fellowship. God, it's wonderful to have government. It's wonderful to have guidance. But God, it's more than that, isn't it? It's a personal relationship. Christ in you. For me to live is Christ and to die is great advantage. It's for me to be able to have what? Life. Dependency. I'm totally dependent on it, you know. Totally dependent. Wow. Wow. You know, when you're little, you probably can't remember that, some of you. Remember when we were little, how dependent we were on mom and dad for good or bad. We were dependent. Now, we were frustrated often with things because our little pride and self-life was developing. But boy, we were dependent. And the wonderful thing is, if you can just imagine, when you were little, did you have to worry about rent? Did you have to worry about what's on the table? Did you have to worry about food in the refrigerator? Did you have to worry about the laundry? Did you have to understand, are there more diapers? No, you didn't. You were totally dependent, and you were content, I think, weren't you? You were content. You were. Except you become as little children, you're going to miss out. You have a heavenly Father. Father, Son. Father, children. Got it. Wow. Now, so, and so a fellowship. Oh, God, fellowship. Over, if you would, Colossians. Over to Ephesians. Not far away. And in Ephesians, if I can, picking up in chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So God, we're looking to you. Verse 8, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as giants in light. Did I get that right? Does it say giants? It says children, doesn't it? Always children. Interesting, isn't it? Why did God, who do you think? Well, I'm a man. Really? We're little. We're little, and a bug, as we shared the other day, and I think one little germ, phew, can knock you right out of business. One lousy little germ, and you're all done. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and you have wonderful, wonderful, able to govern. We're dependent. We're guidance. No. Lift victory, no question. And in the process of being, having provision and fellowship. Over, if you would, in the light of that, over to 2 Corinthians. And 2 Corinthians again, and allow me to go. And remember now, in two here, this and then the other. Now, the Spirit of God, who is gives us the fruit, love, joy, peace, is ministry is to bring all of the wonderment of God's wonderful character and person and power to us so we can enjoy it. It isn't our love, it's His. It isn't our peace, it's His. It isn't our joy, it's His. It isn't our long, it's God, it's your everything. My nothing. I got it. Provision. Awesome. Wow. Now, in the light of that provision, how do you end 2 Corinthians 13, as you know, in verse 14? 13, 14. The grace of our Lord, Paul, last letter to the Corinthians that we have written. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. God's grace and of Lord Jesus, the God's love, God so loved the world that He gave His Son, and communion. The word communion means to have in common, to share, to participate, to be a participant, to share common, to have in common. The communion of to have in common with God, that's called fellowship. That's the word fellowship, communion. Fellowship. You have fellowship with God. That's right. My Father. You do it? I do it. My Father. Wow. It's the way it is. You say you can't, but I do. It's the way it is. Now, so communion, the Spirit of God, you want to have, you committed yourself to exercise and have a relationship to little old us. Jeremiah, even back then, in your good way. Wow. Now, in closing, over to 1 John. 1 John. And you would guess. First John chapter 1. And may I pick up, we already got the Spirit of God. So now we're going to add. Refresh our mind. John, 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship, that's the word communion, union, to have in joint participation, partnership, as it were, participant. We have seen and heard declare we unto you that also you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Wow. So, Spirit of God, I got that locked in. That's what you want. So, God, I'm not going to have a problem talking to you when you're dealing with me. No way. And then, Father, with you, and with the Lord, So, God, in all of your wonderful essence, nature, being, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, God, you want to have a fellowship. That's right. That's what I want. And I want you to enjoy that. And, skipping down if I can, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Because God is light, verse 5, and in him is no darkness at all. So you can't say you're in fellowship if you walk in the dark and don't. Fellowship with God, that's right. So God, I'm always present, always a present help. And verse 7. If we walk in the light, God is light, and him is no darkness. And as he is in the light, so God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and we have a unique relationship. We didn't do it, God did it. No more than you have your physical relationship. You didn't make it. Your mom and dad gave you the physical body. God gave you the rest. And God, you didn't do any of it. All you did is get it. That's all you did. That's all you did. You live in it. You try to claim it as yours. But you didn't get it. It is yours in the sense you're responsible. But if you mean you're the author of it, you're not. You're not at all. So we try to have things. We're dependent. And thus we walk in the light as he is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. So God, here we are looking to you. Jeremiah, I have a little better glimpse of why you're going to survive. Because you at least know God, O hope of Israel, that's you, Lord. The Savior, that's you, in the time of trouble, and that's for sure. So God, here you are, Paul, there you are, and here we are. And we aren't in a little picnic world. We aren't going to have a picnic at all. Not like that. It's a whole nother ball game coming. Wow. So God, here we are. Dependent. Little children. If someone came to some people and said that, little children, they'd all, who do you think you're talking to? You know? No. But God says that, so we bow, little children. And his immense person shrinks us down to right man-sized and God-sized, and we're humbled. I want to be dependent, God. I confess my stupidity and stubbornness for not being dependent. I miss out. God, and you signed the declaration. And the truth will set you free. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Read the declaration and then open your Bible and look to me. Because that's what the declaration made possible, for you to know him. Wow. That's a half a thought as we go. And I just want the world news to keep you perky and happy and everything, as it all bubbles along here. And there we are. So, you may have a particular request as we go to prayer and remember.